Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm Michelle Malloy-Dillon. I'm here with my colleague, David Langiuli, and a very special guest today.
Yes, Michelle, a very special guest, Michael Sahota from Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, where our other partner lives, Janice Cunning. And Michael reached out to me towards the end of last year because he's got a new book out called Leading Beyond Change. And we're actually going to have an excerpt from the book on the blog site. And we're going to talk about that here in the podcast. And Michael is a speaker, a trainer, a consultant on evolutionary leadership. He is the founder and CEO of Shift 314, a boutique training and consulting organization that specializes in the organizational, cultural, and leadership shifts needed to unlock success. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've written a book, and in a chapter in the book, you have a chapter called From Doing to Being. And this happens to be a topic that David and I have a passion around. So tell us something about From Doing to Being. We have a mission. It's like our whole...
in some of our conversations, I don't know how it goes for you, Michelle, but I know for me, in some of my coaching conversations, or sometimes when we're doing our training, you know, we'll say, well, who are you being as a leader? Then people kind of look at you kind of funny. So let's get into it, Michael. Let's just get into it.
Yeah. So our view at Shift 314 is that effective leadership requires an integrated way of doing and being, right? Mm-hmm. So that the doing lines up with the being. And just to give like a very simple example of this, you can say anything to anyone as long as you say it with love. That's a famous quote. So what does it mean? It means that whether you're calling it radical candor or whatever you want to call it, compassionate leadership, I don't care what you call it. There's an inner state of being that one can have or not have, or have to varying degrees, that allows one to speak the truth of what's happening with a person or a situation in the moment in such a way that other people can receive that information without getting defensive, without going to fear, without being triggered. And that is not what we say. The words can be identical, but it's a reflection of our inner state of being.
Yeah, so true. In some other training that I've received and participated in, they talk about where you're coming from, like what state of being, the ground, another way of saying it is the ground of being that you're coming from. Love is actually still a tough word for me. And it's okay. I know some people can really come from love all the time, but whenever I am in the box, so to speak, you know, that we'll use some leadership and self-deception language here for folks in the audience who know that book. Whenever I'm in the box and we know we're I'm judging, I'm assessing, I'm villainizing, other people, I know that I have to shift to compassion. That's the word that I like. It's like, okay, there's a human being in front of me. I can actually generate it. I can generate it inside. It's like I can feel the generation of compassion, and then all of a sudden the shift happens. Yeah.
Well, there is something around being and what we feel as we say words. There is like what your point, Michael, about you can say anything. But if you come from a place of love, it's a very different feeling internally if we're coming from that place.
Yeah. And like when we talk about a state of being, there's different ways to understand it. One is, what is my state of being in this moment? To understand that as a human being, as a leader, it's going to oscillate. It's going to go from a contracted state where, as you're mentioning, you're in judgment, you're in anger, you're in frustration, where from that state, you're going to cause damage, to an open, solution-oriented, expansive, resourced, connected state, where from which place you're going to create success with the people around you and the outcomes you hope to create. So, you know, there's a lot of understanding about, well, we need to become aware as leaders, what state are we actually functioning in? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of in the moment to moment. That's one dimension of a state of being. The other dimension is, what's my overall state of being generally? And we talk about that as a shift in consciousness, that ultimately as human beings, we all have a device called the ego, which is what brings us into divisiveness, judgment, anger, frustration, our all emotional reactions, and all our conditioned behaviors. We collectively call that what we describe as the ego. And so it's moving more to a state where our ego's not running the show, where we're able to be present and stay connected with what we want to create, like our highest self, our highest intentions. And that's what we call a shift in consciousness, which is like a longer term journey. And what is the key hallmark and a key indicator of how capable a leader is, right? Is there, what is their level of evolution of their state of consciousness, their overall inner state of being, right? It's kind of like the limit. Well, how good a leader am I? What's my punching weight, or what's my level of capability? So those are, I'd probably say, the two dimensions that I think about with this conversation.
Yeah, I like that. And I love that you're doing this work with leaders around the world, as I recall. You know, so important, so missing.
And so necessary. You know, so you mentioned be the change you want to be. It's like, you know, I mean, seriously, as you mentioned that in your chapter, a quote from, is it Mahatma Gandhi, I believe. You know, it as leaders, we all need to create this way of being in the world with the people that we are around, that we are impacting. And there is a ripple effect to that. And the ripple effect will be that state of being back to us. So we create this effect, the self-generating effect. And so often there needs to be a consciousness around this. This can't be, this is not about unconsciously doing it, because then we can get unconsciously angry or triggered or whatever as well. But it takes a practice of really, what's the feeling that I want to create in this conversation?
Right. Yeah. And I think this is where, you know, where we define the term evolutionary leadership as really kind of the, you know, how to solve this whole conundrum. And, you know, servant leadership is a wonderful concept. Transformational leadership is wonderful, but evolutionary leadership kind of gets to the core of what's required to unlock those, mm-hmm. right? So we see evolutionary leadership as it is the evolution of servant leadership. It's a really kind of getting to the heart of what will it take for me as a leader to create high performance. And we define it very simply. Evolutionary leadership is the choice to evolve oneself and develop the capabilities needed to evolve an organization. So it's got this really putting this first class citizen, the word choice is, do I as a leader choose to invest in my own growth, my own evolution, my own shift in consciousness so that my state of being can evolve over time so that I can, really be the change that I want to see in the world, right? So that I, you know, we all talk about, we want to have this kind of culture. We want to have this kind of progressive organization. We want to have this kind of adaptability. Well, if I don't have that in my own being, how can I create it external to me? I have to have it inside myself first. So that's why we see evolutionary leadership as this pitiful shift in understanding what the quintessential essence of effective leadership is about, and how to, more importantly, not what the outcome is. I mean, everyone can talk about, oh, we need to have humility, we need to have compassion, you know, we need to be curious, blah, 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 blah. It's not about the outcome. It's about what is the work, what is the tools, what is my daily progress that I'm making inside my state of being, my state of consciousness towards that outcome? And what is my rate of evolution on that journey of my, not just new practices and new ways of doing, which are helpful and we need to have those integrated, but my inner state of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we like to say, leadership starts with me. You have to put your own oxygen mask on first, and then you can help other people. Seriously. We talk about
exactly.
This all the time. Before you can shift to we, You have to start with me. It seems selfish. Like, it seems selfish to say that even as I'm saying it, but I've come to realize until I evolve, until I shift, the level at which I can help others is going to be limited by the degree to which I am evolving as a human being. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that's the quintessence right there. That if we want to create a high-performance culture, we need to show up as a high-performance leader. And the only way to do that is to shift our inner state of being. Now, this is where we get into a problem. Because if we look at what tools, like you think about the listeners right now, what tools do you have access to support the rate of your shift in your inner state of being? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the tools you're using daily to create a shift in your inner state of being? And what is your rate of progress over the last year? And for most leaders, they're going like, well, like, what are you talking about? I don't have any tools to evolve my inner state of being. I mean, someone said I should be aware, but okay, well, like, what do I do next? Right. And like, really, you know, if I look back at it, I haven't really shifted my inner state of being in the last 5 years. I'm the same person, same leader I was, maybe some small shifts, but like, what are you talking about? And this is where our work comes in. It's unfair to ask leaders to make a shift. Not unfair, but it's unhelpful to ask leaders to make a shift without giving the tools and the evolutionary capabilities to go on that journey. And that's what our work, we have this whole body of knowledge called the Shift 314 Evolutionary Leadership Framework, or the SELF framework, which is both an inner growth framework as well as an organizational evolution framework. And, you know, there's a core part of it that we call the Shift Technology of Consciousness. My wife, co-founder, co-author, Audrey and I have both studied consciousness in India. We've studied with monks who are enlightened states of being. We've both been initiated in certain activities to give people a rapid shift in consciousness through our direct interventions, as well as we've developed very specific tools, Fourier's leadership model, laser listening, a variety of other different practices that leaders can use daily to increase the rate of evolution, to increase the rate at which their state of being is shifting from a state of ego-driven, lower consciousness, more in the box, as you say, to one that's more open, evolved, representative of the leader and the kind of environment they want to create. Yeah. And that's what I think has been really missing is a coherent set of tools.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I know many of those tools you describe in the book, and we're going to let people know where they can get the book at the, when we wrap up the episode here. And that would be a good first step. And we'll also let folks know how they can reach out to you if they want to talk about, you know, bringing this work into their organization. I am reminded, I'm mindful that you gave an example in this excerpt of the book about leaders, managers who give feedback. And, you know, this is something I remember, like, the first time I was managing a team. Like, nobody, it's like becoming a parent. Nobody gives you a manual. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're in a situation where you need to give feedback. It could be regular feedback. You know, there's lots of discussion about, you know, feedback, the doing of feedback. Like, do we do it on the spot? Do we do it every month? Do we do it quarterly? Do we do it annually? Right? All the doing of feedback. But you talked about the state of being from which you give feedback. And let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll just break this down a little bit. Like, if you're giving positive feedback, yeah, give it all the time, give it frequently, go for it, you know, high five, create a culture where everyone's celebrating the brilliance of everyone else. Absolutely. Do that immediately.
Be generous with your approbation.
Yeah. Don't hold back.
Do not hold back.
With your approbation.
Yeah. Now the thing is, when we say things that are less than positive, what happens is people's egos get triggered. In order to deliver feedback in a way that people can really receive it, it means that we need to be impeccable, impeccable in our inner state of being. Mm. Now, there's two broad areas that create challenge that, I mean, actually, there's a whole beautiful, beautiful book called Crucial Conversation. So it's really about how do I have a crucial conversation to share difficult information with someone? That's probably really what I'm going to talk about, is how do we share that difficult feedback? And everybody on this call probably knows there's some overdue conversations you need to have. you need to have to unlock your environment to get rid of the problems. And it's normal. It's not your fault. Just make note that you probably haven't had them because you didn't know how to have a good outcome, which is okay. But that's a great book. Now, what we do is go beyond that book, Crucial Conversations. Fantastic book, fantastic body of knowledge. But we go into like, well, what is your inner state of being to do the work to have that crucial conversation? And there's two different core areas, two key core areas that are going to absolutely fundamentally undermine your ability to have these conversations. The first one is your emotional charge as a leader. Like when you think about the situation, how do you feel? Everyone can just do this right now. Think about a situation where you want to have a crucial conversation. You want to give some difficult feedback. When you think about the situation, that person, how does it feel in your body? Do you feel open and expansive and excited? Or do you feel contracted and kind of tight and crunchy? That's telling you that you have an emotional charge in your system, that you're not clear. So we actually have a whole other book we haven't talked about here called Emotional Science, which actually gives people a technique called Get Clear. This is part of our technology of shifting consciousness to shift our inner state of being. That's why I'm tying it in here. And that will allow you to clear your inner state of being, clear away that emotional disturbance that's preventing you from seeing the person in front of you as a whole perfect human being that's just struggling with something and needs some help, right? So that's number one, is you're clearing away your emotional charge.
So, and in our experience, it helps. Sometimes you can clear it on your own. Sometimes you need to clear it with somebody else, actually. Having a partner in your clearing can be helpful.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so that there are many good practices for this. In our book, our technology is we teach leaders to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. So we give them a technology they can use. Actually, it's a guided meditation called Get Clear, and train them how their emotional system works so they can actually clear their emotional state on their own without help. And of course, for bigger issues, there's deeper healing work that's needed. And there's much more advanced technologies that we have in terms of what's needed to shift consciousness and so on. But let's just leave it there. So that's category number one, is the emotional disturbances that get in the way. The second, and this is actually really, really, really subtle, and there's a whole technology we have around this to help leaders understand this. It's called agenda, which is when we go into a conversation, when we, you know, ask them a question, we usually want to have a specific outcome. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting an outcome. It's our job as a leader to energize certain things, and that's beautiful. But when we're attached to our outcome and we're so tightly tied to our outcome, we have an agenda, either an agenda to, let's say, keep someone or fire someone, or, you know, think, you know, that when we have an agenda, we actually cannot have an open conversation because we can no longer respond to the live human being in front of us because we're attached to our outcome. We're not ready to let reality flow where it wants to flow. So the second technology is about, well, how do we become aware of my agenda and how that's creating a distortion and preventing me from being clear when approaching this conversation, right? And so these are the two kind of underlying things that are needed to unlock this really beautiful kind of script and outline in crucial conversations.
Well, I love that word unlock.
It's not the doing. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that word unlock because it's like unlocking that tightness that we can hold around things and creating more of an ability to adapt and be open and open-hearted to what shows up and creating from there.
Exactly. Bingo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, one of the practices we're taught, and now we teach others, is as a way of feedback, is to acknowledge someone, an acknowledgement, that's what we call it. So this is actually acknowledging someone for who they are and not what they do. This is very rare. This is very rare in organizational life.
And when we practice this with teams or teach teams how to do this, it creates quite an impact. It does what you're talking about, Michael, where it suddenly people's hearts open.
Right. You definitely have to, in order to be in a state of being to give an acknowledgement, you have to be present, open, and flexible and see the human being in front of you, and then let words come out of your mouth.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So we're going to link to the a tip sheet in the show notes for folks who struggle with feedback. Of course, there's a great story in the chapter excerpt that is on the blog site where they can also dive in to some of the things you've talked about in terms of where you're coming from as a leader when you're giving feedback. And I'm sure there's much more in the book and your other book also about this. So we're going to point people to these resources in the show notes. So I don't know.
Well, we always like to give our listeners things to try. Like what's something from your book you'd like to give our listeners something to try, Michael?
Yeah. So I think probably what I'd recommend is really like, so in our view, awareness is the starting place of any journey. So if you don't know what's going on with your system, you can't improve it. And you might say your system, it means your leadership system, your internal leadership system, your state of being. So what's coming to me is an awareness exercise. And so the activity is really straightforward, is just identify the most important five relationships at work and the most important relationships in your personal life. And for each of them, just identify what it is that triggers you about that person, that relationship. When you think about, it's really simple exercise for each person in the list, just go through them, think about that person and what is it that frustrates you, and just notice that, that feeling, that contraction in your body. This is your state of being that you have whenever you interact with that person. Whether you're connected with it or not, it's living inside of you. So the invitation is for an awareness exercise for you to start to become aware of, really, and it's very normal for all of us, but really the limitations, the contractions in our state of being that are preventing us from showing up as the person we want to be, the leader we want to be.
Yeah. And that awareness that you're challenging us all to get present with, the way that you're giving us this challenge, I am sensing there's no judgment around it. Just create awareness.
We have a technical term at our company, is that everyone's perfect. Everyone has a different set of adaptations and everyone's 100% normal.
Mm-hmm.
No one's broken.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone is just perfect.
Yeah.
And we just have different adaptations because we're unique. We have different life paths.
Yeah.
And just to celebrate everybody as a human being. And really the only question is, well, do you want to evolve or not? Coming back to evolution, it's your choice. And if you don't want to evolve, cool. It's your choice. Right. And if you do, great.
Great.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, wow. What a practice. Awareness practice. Think about, you know, five folks in your life and, see what your state of being is around them.
And, yeah, when you think about them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
Then you could, you know, you could stay there or you can evolve. You could stay in the box or you could get out of the box. You know? Well, Michael, please share with the audience how they can find you and your resources, including Leading Beyond Change.
Yeah. So one easy way, just Google my name. I'm pretty famous. So Michael Cejota. No, it's true. I've been on the internet for a long, long time. Produced a lot of stuff on the internet that's helped a lot of people. The other one is you can go to our website, shift314.com. That'll have links to our books. Leading Beyond Change was the one that we're referencing with the chapter. And I also mentioned Emotional Science as the name of the other book.
Yeah. Go get the books.
Yeah.
Go get the books.
Go Google Michael and, you know, start on this path. You know, it's an old, I think, Zen saying, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And that first step, awareness, is a very good first step on this journey. So I love that you've given the audience that challenge. For an awareness exercise. Well, thanks again for coming on the podcast and sharing an excerpt from the book with the audience. We appreciate the work that you're doing, who you're being in the world, Michael. Every time I see you, it's been a couple of times now, you're always so, there's a brightness to you. So I want to acknowledge your brightness.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to join you and Michelle here.
Yeah.
Good conversation.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to bring it home, Michelle. This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're enjoying the show, you can help us keep this thoughtful content coming with a monthly or annual contribution that supports our production costs and keeps the show ad free. So go ahead, guys, make it a contribution today and help us keep this show coming. Now go put it into practice.